The NFL has recently been criticized for its handling of domestic violence and other off-field issues, and for good reason. In the latest issue of Sports Illustrated, Michael McKnight and John Wertheim have reconstructed a 10-year period when Major League Baseball teams ignored warning signs that a well-known outfielder was abusing his wife. The article is titled, "This is What Domestic Violence Looks Like," and it's made up almost entirely of direct quotes from legal documents and news reports of the time. Michael McKnight, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
Milton Bradley played in the majors from 2000 to 2011 and might have been more famous for his temper than for his accomplishments on the field. Describe Bradley's skills and also how he earned his reputation as a hothead.
Well, he was a complete player. He could play defense, he could hit for power, he could hit for average. He was a switch hitter, which was, you know, it's very valuable. He was someone to contend with offensively.
And the hothead business was apparent from the outset?
It was. He got into a brawl that occurred at the end of a game in the minor leagues. He ended up spitting on an umpire and was suspended a total of 7 games for that incident. And, you know, that reputation followed him the rest of his career. It seems like incidents kept piling up on top of that one.
By 2004, Bradley was on the Dodgers, his third team, and news reports were already referring to him as, quote, troubled but talented. By this time, he'd begun dating Monique Williams. It's pretty clear their relationship was seriously troubled, way beyond troubled, almost right from the start.
Yes, it was. From the get-go, there were witnesses, sworn testimony from those two, either in divorce court or other court proceedings, that things were not going well. The judge commented later, you know, in 2013, when Milton Bradley finally went to trial for these domestic violence issues, that it was an atmosphere of domination, and Milton Bradley's mindset was, this is my house, this is my car, this is my big league career, this is my income, and ultimately, the judge said, you know, my woman, and I think that was very telling.
It's interesting that you make the point no one knew. Was there ever a time when the problems between Bradley and his wife, and the problems were the result of his assaulting her in some cases, became public enough that any team he played for should have been aware of them?
Well, teams are under a very harsh mandate to win, as you know, and there's always a belief, not unlike Monique Bradley's belief, that a new leaf would be turned. Mm. A new player would reveal himself. A new man would enter the clubhouse whenever he joined the Mariners or the A's or the Padres or whomever he joined. But was there really evidence, or was there really an in-depth evaluation on which to base that hope? And, you know, the evidence says that there wasn't. You know, what stands out most to me about this story is Monique Bradley lived and died in anonymity. If her husband had still been playing baseball in 2013 when she died, you know, this would have garnered some news attention. But because he was no longer playing, he was out of the major leagues for 2 years by that point, mm-hmm. We don't care so much about him, certainly, but we absolutely don't care about his spouse and her well-being.
Was there evidence after Monique Williams died that the cause of her death was related to her husband or previous treatment by her husband?
We attempted to interview, you know, dozens of people and ask that very same question, and we were unable to get anybody to answer on the record. What we got, Bill, was a lot of his behavior certainly didn't help things. She was stricken by a serious illness, which still remains somewhat vague. First of all, it's important to note he was legally banned from seeing her. Mm-hmm. And there's no evidence that he was with her physically near the end of her life. As to whether his behavior over the years took a toll, I think that's speculative, but there's certainly people close to the story who feel that there's something there.
In 2013, Milton Bradley was tried on a variety of charges, including assault with a deadly weapon. He was convicted of 9 of those charges. He was sentenced to 32 months in prison. He's now out on bail and has custody of his children. How did that come about?
Even if you're convicted of crimes, as heinous as these crimes are, and they're misdemeanors, which still, it strikes me every time I say that out loud, you're afforded opportunities to appeal, and you're afforded opportunities to stay free while those appeals are ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
As to the custody of his children, the court systems, particularly in California, really wants to place him with a birth parent. So I think that goes a long way in explaining how that happened.
The entire Milton Bradley saga transpired before the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson cases occurred. Do you think the way that Bradley was looked at, treated, et cetera, would have been different if the culture had been different?
This was not a singular incident like the Ray Rice video appears to have been. Psychologists and sociologists refer to the cycle of domestic violence. And this was a woman who could not get away, or at times chose not to get away. And the layperson asks, why in the world didn't she just leave? And I asked that question at the beginning of this work. And she did a good job of explaining in her own words why she didn't leave. I thought the story was important for that reason, because it allows us to stand in her shoes, however briefly, and ask, how could you stay? Hopefully this does a decent job of answering that.
This Is What Domestic Violence Looks Like by Michael McKnight and John Wertheim appears in the April 13th issue of Sports Illustrated. Michael, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Bill, thank you for the opportunity.